Joe is simply recording him.
Yeah.
At this time, I would like to introduce from San Ynez, Kiz.
Everybody, cheers, alcoholic.
Cheers.
You know, I don't know much, but I know I'm exactly where I'm supposed to be right now. And you guys have taught me that. One of a lot of things I've begun to learn in this fellowship, which I call the greatest show on earth. My sobriety date is December 16th, 2005. I do my best through you guys to keep it fresh. I do it okay. I get better at it. Sometimes a little stale, but I've always got you backing me up. It's taken what it's taken for me to begin to learn that. And before I go on, I want to thank you in advance for my medicine. I get it nowhere else. And believe you me, I've tried pretty much everything, everywhere. And so far, this particular journey, this is my second pass. There are two others. A couple of guys with cloaks sentenced me years ago to six meetings and 12 meetings. One of the six were back in 1978 when a DUI was basically a slap in the wrist and a couple $100. And then in 1992, when it got a lot more serious, and it was 12 meetings, a huge fine, what was it, 16 weeks, I don't know what it is now, but it was 16 weeks of counseling and stuff. And I took it as seriously as I could take it at the time. And one thing that you guys have trained me to do is I used to look at all that as sort of nonsense or not take it seriously. At the time, I didn't, or I did for a little while. But what you guys have trained me to do is, at this particular part of my journey, almost 5 years into this greatest show on earth, you've given me a second life and one life lived. No bones about it. But I've learned to take the stance of my cup is half full. It's not half empty anymore. And that's the way I looked at passing through here before. I've been here a couple, been there, done that. But it was a formation of getting ready. That's just how I look at it now. That's the attitude that I've taken. You guys, everything that I talk about this evening, it's from you. The grace of you and the grace of God, period. That's what's been instilled in me. It's taken what it's taken. Like I said, I'm coming up on 5 years, whatever that means, and I can benchmark some of this period of time by wow moments, revolutionary moments I've had, according to my sponsor, and I guess somewhat according to me, and all of this has come from you. I still have to battle my defects, some of which may be around for the rest of my life. I don't know, and that's cool. I don't know. Didn't used to be in my vocabulary because I knew everything. I knew everything. And if I didn't know it, I'd drink some more Jack Daniels. 5 minutes later, I'd know it. And I tell you, I was so full of shit, it was coming out of every, you know, orifice in my body. And you guys have taught me to respect that that's okay. It wasn't like that at the beginning of this particular journey. And like I said, in 78 and in 92 with those DUIs, yeah, I showed up. I sort of called myself an alcoholic or not, but the interesting thing is that at the beginning of this particular journey, by me saying and admitting that I was an alcoholic, it was humiliating. It was absolutely humiliating, but I kept coming back and I kept repeating that, and a funny thing happened. That humiliation turned into humbleness and continues to do so. That's still a work in progress. You know, I'm the man I was yesterday, plus yesterday's experience. All of that by the grace of you and the grace of God. And I do my best not to forget that. And when my ego, when my selfishness begins to rise, right up there on the wall, the 10th step, bam, a spiritual axiom, a spiritual truth. You guys have worked this into me. I can't explain it except it's what I do. If a person, place, or a thing starts to take the top of my head off, or I start to boil inside, begin to react, whatever it is, I've gotten pretty good at stopping. I have to stop. And it doesn't matter. It can't be your fault. It's got to be me. This is what you've got me doing. And it's wholesalely changed my operating system, which is still changing and needs to continue to change. Again, this is all through you. I didn't know this at the beginning. When I came in here, you know, my last drink, like I said, was December 15th, 2009. I was in Ohio. Married, brief marriage of total dysfunction on my part, and my wife, Ben, we're good friends. We're married for 7 months. She's a big-time banker. She needed a guy, I guess, and I just needed somebody to take care of me, and it finally just, you know, went sideways. And what she did, instead of kicking me to the curb, which she could well have done, perhaps deservedly so, I don't know, God only knows the answer to that question, she sent me to a recovery facility down in the middle of freaking nowhere in Florida, north central Florida. And I went to this place for 90 days, and not disrespecting it or any other, I've never been to another recovery facility, but I know now that if that's all I did, I wouldn't be standing here right now. I'd probably be dead. I don't think it would have lasted. And again, it's not disrespect to that, but what did happen, among other things, at the tip of the spear was you guys. You guys, most of whom I've never met tonight, were on my side then. I believe in the metaphysicality of this program. When I was clear across the country, and more to the point, not disrespecting you, a bunch of long-timers, a men's meeting that we were fanned to twice a month, they took me in. They taught me how to grow wings and begin to fly. And that, I can say now, began to change my life, and it kept me there in this place called Ocala, Florida, which is in north central Florida. And that's where, when I was referring to calling myself an alcoholic and, you know, kind of cringing and feeling really bad about doing it, that's where the not the self-leveling, but the leveling of self began to take place. I didn't know it at the time. There's so much. And when I first came in here at that time, probably when I was at the recovery facility, and even afterwards when I got out, when I was released, and like I said, stayed there, and the facility just happened to open a halfway house, which myself and another guy were the first to stay there, the roots started to grow. The seeds had been planted in 1978, in 1992, and along the way, I'm convinced of that. I didn't know that now. And to the point regarding that, when I first came in here at that time, this whole thing was Russian, Martian, Greek, and Latin mixed into one. And I thought I knew everything. I thought I knew everything. And, you know, when I came in here, it wasn't, this time around, it wasn't like, I didn't want what you had, nor did I not want it, nor did I want it. I guess I was just at the end. I wasn't suicidal or anything like that, but I had used everything I had. The last 10 years of my run, geographical cure tour, I was out here for 30 years, I'll kind of, you know, go into my drunk log or whatever along the way, but I was in Los Angeles for 30 years. I did some growing up in Cleveland, Ohio. I was born at the Aberdeen Proving Grounds. If any of you have been in the military, it's still there. Artillery was my dad's vocation for a while right after the Korean War. And in Florida, when I started this journey, this whole thing was, like I said, alien to me. But I stuck around, and I do believe that it was God and you guys doing for me what I couldn't do for myself. There are 1,001 sayings in this greatest show on earth, and one of the first ones I remember hearing was, "We will love you until you can learn to love yourself." Now, I heard that. I heard that a lot, and I guess I was hearing it in Martian and Latin. I heard it. It's like I was saying about repeating the fact that my name is Chiz, I'm an alcoholic. I believed it, and it began to change my operating system. It still is, becoming the man that God had originally intended, and that's only through you guys. Because if I tried doing this myself, and I tried, I came through the San Ynez Valley back in 06 and 07, came into the room steadily for 6 months, didn't find a sponsor, didn't do the steps, and I was sober for about a year and a half, and then I started drinking again. So anybody, just letting you know, if you choose that path, it doesn't usually end well. Find a sponsor, go through the steps, the suggestions, that's all they are, and they're life-saving, because you're looking at someone. I'm a miracle, and I'm not standing up on a soapbox about that, but because of you, the grace of you guys and God, I'm standing here, and I'm not the same person I was 5 years ago, 20 years ago, 30 years ago, and it's the most unbelievable thing I've ever experienced in my life. There's nothing like talking to an alcoholic, nothing. But all the alcohol I've consumed in my life doesn't compare to my days. I have no bad days. They just might be less good than another. And again, that goes back to what you've taught me. That's the glass half full instead of half empty. And that's an attitudinal change that you guys brought about to me that I am forever grateful for, full of gratitude. And without you, like I said, I wouldn't be standing here. You know, the sense of belonging. My sense of belonging before I came in here was my little prison cell. And again, you guys have taught me that that prison cell I constructed. I made it. I had the key to it the whole time. I'm the one who closed the door, and you know what? I never locked it. For 40 freaking years, I was in that cell of my own volition, but I blame you. I have met the enemy, and it is me. That's what you've taught me, victimhood. It's a horrible way to exist, I've come to find. It's not living, it's existing, and that's another huge thing you guys have begun to teach me, how to live, to have feelings. You know, I do my best not to seek pleasure nor resist pain, but to find meaning. I find meaning going to the freaking grocery store, for God's sake. I really do. Now, I find meaning, you know, after a couple of bottles of wine and go waddling down the aisle and maybe break a couple to get it, but it's just not like that now. And you know, it's really hard to explain, but life has taken on, you know, a new meaning. It really has. And it reminds me of November of 2010. For some reason, the people down there in Ocala, a town unlike Santa Maria, small town, less ag than here, but a lot of horse stuff, lots of ranches. Believe it or not, in Florida, there's some really amazing, it's not all alligators and Everglades. And the country up there is a lot like it is here, lots of oaks. It was amazing. I learned to really love it. Of course, there was Everglades and stuff like that. I didn't spend too much time there. But as some of you may be aware, November is Gratitude Month in Alcoholics Anonymous, and it's a big deal down there, and they have there were probably 700 or 800 people at this thing, and it was like their 20th or 30th year, and they asked me to be the MC. And I was November, so I was coming up on a year of sobriety, and it scared the crap out of me. It was all scripted, but it still scared the crap out of me. It was one of the best things that ever happened to me, just to be standing up on the stage in a tuxedo and doing all this stuff. but I just want to read the title of this particular night was Your Imagination Will Be Fired. And I just, you know, a couple days, and Stan, by the way, thank you for asking me to be here, and thank you guys for having me here. This means a lot to me. I started to sort of write stuff up, and I realized one thing you guys have taught me, and God has taught me as well. Chiz plans, God laughs. So I started, and then I heard that, and I went, no, Chiz, don't do that. Just make a couple of notes and just go, see what happens. But anyway, on page 152 of Alcoholics Anonymous, it reads, yes, there is a substitute, and it is vastly more than that. It is a fellowship in Alcoholics Anonymous. There you will find release from care, boredom, and worry. Your imagination will be fired. Life will mean something at last. The most satisfactory years of your existence lie ahead. Thus, we find the fellowship, and so will you. So I read that almost 5 years ago, and I was actually just driving over here. I got here about 45 minutes before the meeting started, and I just thought that'd be a nice thing to read. And it's one of the amazing things about this greatest show on earth is how, for me anyway, something a week ago or 5 years ago will come back and not haunt me. It'll lift me up. That's what this program does to me without fail. You know, like I said a little earlier, I don't really have bad days. And it makes me stop and think sometimes, like, what the hell is up with that? Because that is not the way it used to be. When I was playing God, when I was running this universe and a bunch of other ones, you know, I don't know what a good day was. I did know what a bad day was, and I had a lot of those. And it's an amazing thing in here. They just don't happen. I wish I could explain that, but I can't. And again, that is a result. I do my best to have acceptance ahead of expectations, judgment, two things. I try to keep it bay. I do my best through you guys, God, and everything else, but they're there. They're always there. And that's just the way it is. You guys have set that up for me. It's taken what it's taken. As you hear in these rooms, it takes what it takes. Time takes time, and I remember hearing those things, and I still need to hear them. I'm not done. As the saying goes, there is no graduation in this greatest show on earth. If there is, by the grace of you guys and God, it'll be the day I die. And if that's it, I go somewhere else. You know, we all have we all have a terminal illness. It's called lifespan. You guys have taught me. We hear about the 24-hour cycle. I choose to call it the present, the gift. That's today. You guys have taught me, and I keep learning and doing my best to enjoy these days. Freedom, harmony, and joy. Those are three things that I have absolute faith and hope that God and you guys want for me at a minimum. Freedom, harmony, and joy. Again, I remember hearing that stuff 5 years ago, 4 years ago, 3 years ago. In one ear, out the other, off the forehead, onto the ground, into the back pocket, whatever. Well, I hear that stuff enough. Repetition becomes habit, becomes a part of my life. What I like to call situational items. I've found some of the greatest friends and learned what a friend is in this program. I thought I knew what love was. I thought I knew what friendship was prior to walking in here. Total rewrite. Total, again, change in the operating system as far as Chiz H goes with regard to that. And you know what? That's okay. But it didn't used to be. Change is inevitable. Growth is optional. Change for me is out there. It's all out there. The transition is up to me. It's an inside job. It's a total inside job. This is a we program, but there's got to be some of me in it. I have to have, and I'm going to read them off: honesty, hope, faith, courage, integrity, willingness, humility, love, brotherly love, discipline, perseverance, awareness or awareness of God, service. Those are the 12 principles of Alcoholics Anonymous. They're words. They're all actionable. And I do my best. I don't know how they come up. All of them come up sometimes during a day. One of them, two of them. I never know. That's what makes this thing a blast to me, is the mystery of all this. You know, there was no mystery to me before. I had to know everything, or I knew everything. And I look back on that, as we are told in Alcoholics Anonymous, our past is our greatest asset. Believe it. It is. You guys have taught me to keep the past close by, not live in it. It's done. It's over. But there is a gold mine back there, an absolute gold mine. Stuff comes up. Sometimes I bring it up, but most of the time it just shows up. Like I was saying a little bit earlier, meetings 4 and 5 years ago, these things will pop up at another meeting. And I'll never forget it. About a year ago, I was at a meeting, a noon meeting in Solvang. Something somebody said 3 years before, wham, front and center to me. I almost jumped out of my chair. But to me, that's the cool part about this. That wasn't happening to me before I came in here. And it wasn't really happening to me when I first came in here. But again, these are the results. The results. You guys have trained me to not do my best not to have expectations for results. Accept. Acceptance. Like it says in the chapter, Dr. Paul, acceptance is the answer. And by God, for me, it is. That is such a wholesale change in my operating system, and continues to be. Again, I wish I could describe it. You guys have me living it, I guess, at a beginner's level at this point, but it's unbelievable. And I'll go back to saying all the alcohol, some of the drugs in total that I had don't come within solar systems of just this feeling, the sense of belonging, unconditional surrender, robust vulnerability, which is a part of surrender, and letting go. Now, these are phrases, they're action phrases, but when put into practice, which you guys have me doing, within the last year, a lot of this stuff has just come to me front and center. That's all I can explain to you. It took what it took. And there's more. One big thing that I've come to learn is that when I become aware of something, like I was saying, kind of the revolutionary or wow moments, maybe a handful that I've had, they're definitely spiritual experiences that I've had since I've been in these rooms, been a part of this greatest show on earth. When I become aware of those, and usually somebody has to tell me, I'm the last one to know. It's like, geez, shit, the same thing happened last week, and you burned the barn down. You're not going for a weapon or anything. What the hell's going on? I don't know. You know, so I've got to be told about it. But what I realize, what you guys have trained me to do and realize is it's part of the whole mystery to this thing, for me anyway, and that is the little slice of what I realize means there's so much more out there. It's like what I just read. Your imagination will be fired. There is so much. And that's part of the mystery of this and the sort of divine inspiration of this whole fellowship. And it's all from you guys, every one of you. I don't care if you've got an hour or 100 years, you've got something. You're responsible. I came in here irresponsible, an irresponsible man. And I'm still a little irresponsible about some things, but I'd like to think and feel and believe and have faith in my own faith that I'm a lot more responsible than I used to be. And again, that's by you guys. This is how it works. This is what happens when you practice There's 24 suggestions there. There's 12 that aren't the concepts, if you're familiar with them. I think they're in the back of the fourth edition. They're definitely in the service manual. All of them. And, you know, all of our you know, literature and stuff that isn't AA sanctioned. You know, just, I read stuff. I've been an avid reader all my life. I'll read something I read a year ago, whether it's AA material or not, and it means something. It may not mean something completely different, but it has new meaning. And to me, there's just something wonderful about that. It's like I was, you know, seriously and both humorously sharing with you, going to the market and having a good time. It may sound idiotic, but I have fun doing that stuff. And just things that used to drive me nuts. Give you an example. When I was married 4 years, my then wife and I, by the grace of God, we're still good friends. Have a wonderful daughter who's doing really well in New York and Manhattan. Anyway, the moral of this story is that when we were married for that brief time, my good friend and former wife used to love going to movies. And I'd say I'd go with her 1 out of 20, being the jackass that I was at the time. You know, it had to be military, bang, bang, shoot 'em up type stuff. And what I actually began to realize before I came in here is, but realized to a lot more of a degree, that, geez, is, you know, if you'd gone to some of them, you might just have had a good time. You might have learned something. But, you know, there was good old me, God, Chiz. Oh, no, her name's Barry. No, Barry, no, go ahead. So the marriage didn't last. I don't think it was totally based on not going to movies. Some of it had to do with this and behavior, misbehavior, and all of that. But, again, you know, that's part of the past, and it holds meaning for me, through you guys and God, to understand that, to perhaps break a pattern or not to repeat things, not to do what I used to do. Drinking was but a symptom. There was a whole lot of behavior, misbehavior behind that, which, by the grace of you guys and God, once again, is being corrected. Vision me as a big old corkscrew being straightened out as time goes on, I'd like to believe, and I really do have faith that that's happening. And just being here, you know, I'm reminded, I was driving over and, you know, going, boy, Sunday nights, what did I used to do on a Sunday night? I was either recovering, processing, as I used to call it, you know, getting the barley corn out of me, steaming it out of me, or part of the processing was, you know, having a little nip to calm myself down. Those are the things I did. That's, you know, I'm making the drive over. And it's just cool to think about that. It's cool to remember that. Again, that's part of what I was saying and what you guys have brought to me with regard to the past. I need to remember and recall those things because I don't want to do that anymore. I just do not want to do that. It's just too much fun. And let me make it clear, it wasn't that much fun at the beginning, the first year of my sobriety. You know, like I said, married to this banker. Now, here's one everyone in this room will get. I don't, so maybe you can explain it to me after the meeting. My second wife smoked and drank one day a week. Oh, my God. I mean, I do my best not to process that too much because it's like one of those things. You guys are pretty chill. Don't go there for too long. But Fridays, and she was the kind of person, she smoked Virginia Slim menthols and had cartons of them and fruit-flavored vodka, gallons of it. So up to the point of December 15th, I've been sober, pretty much dry drunk. I'd gone to some meetings there in the Cleveland area. Did it matter? Yeah, you know, it was. It was getting me ready. It was getting me ready for this time around. But there was that night, she had her brother and her brother's girlfriend come over, and I was drinking. I love sparkling water. I was making her a drink. I thought I had it all handled, and you know, got this handle of grape flavored vodka or whatever it was, and I went, oh, fuck it. So I put two fingers into my thing, into my glass, and she found out, and it was about 2 weeks later, I was on a jet down to Florida, and she did me a great thing. You know, she sent me down to this recovery place. Well, a month into it, we had been married long enough for divorce papers. They were dissolution papers. And it's interesting because I knew when I got them via Federal Express, again, perhaps God, you guys doing for me what I couldn't do for myself, that I couldn't go back to it. So it wasn't that much of a shock. But things are so screwed up in Ohio that I had to show up. You know, had to show up in front of the judge. It was on a Saturday because I guess there's a lot of fraud and stuff going on, you know, which was fine. I had to go up there and get my car anyway and drive back down to Florida. But, you know, going back to that first year, standing here before you guys brings back those memories of, you know, being down there in Florida, North Central Florida, in the middle of nowhere. It was actually beautiful, like I said before. And she sent me there, and I will never forget, let's see, the first year. So I get out after a few months. I decide to stay there, and I go to work for this facility. I become the head of the landscape crew. I've got a you know, bit of landscaping under my belt, and spent about 5 months doing jungle clearing. It was a facility that used to be a mud farm back at the turn of last century. Then it was a YMCA during the summer, so they had cabins on federal property, 60 acres of beautiful oak trees like you got here. I can't remember if they were white oak. I should as a landscaper know that, but I don't. And anyway, these trees, they were big. I call them hobbit trees, like the ones with the branches that swing down. They'd been unattended for like 25, 30 years. So when you saw them, you could barely tell they were oak trees. They were surrounded by vines, being taken over by vines, and what I call tree weeds. So these five or six guys and myself cleared them for 4 months. It was great. 150 degrees out, 500% humidity. And one of the amazing things was none of that bothered me. Didn't bother me at all. And I began to learn that attitude, you know, attitude, sense of being, and you can do anything with your mind. I mean, you really, freedom of choice. And I just chose, I had lots of Gatorade for myself and the guys, and I can attest to the fact that Gatorade does work. Because we drink gallons of it during the day. I mean, we'd sweat 15 pounds off a day easily in that heat and everything else. But anyway, I was working at this facility, and I met this gal who was in the facility. And, of course, it's a no-no to do anything sexually, of course, barely to talk. But I did. After we were done with the jungle clearing, the five guys and myself, we got to, well, it was just regular maintenance at the place. And, of course, I had the choice of whatever I wanted to do, and I assigned everybody else to a degree. And at the mess hall and offices, a big log cabin, there was a really nice front area with pea gravel, and there was the med room attached to it. And I just really liked going in there. It was kind of a meditative thing to rake it out first thing in the morning. And the guys, the cooks and stuff would get there at about 4:30 a.m. and start brewing coffee and stuff. So anybody who was there working or just inpatients could come and get coffee starting at about 5 a.m. And I kept seeing this gal, and I'm a nice guy. I wasn't looking for anything. I've never been that kind of a guy, like a pickup artist or anything like that. She and I started talking. I just introduced myself. Anyway, one thing led to another, and she got out. She stayed in Ocala. We started going out. This was in September, October of 2010, and so we started having our affair, and the head of the place found out right before Christmas. I got fired. But before I got fired, I decided I was going to go to Dallas with her. I was going to move. So I tell you this story because I lost everything. I bottomed out in sobriety. And I heard all the stories about don't get into a relationship, wait for at least a year, all that. I'm looking at my watch, well, it's just about a year, so this should be just fine. God almighty, I was still as insane as I was 10 years before that. So I get fired. I was living in a great big house that was, I was rented, the rent was nothing. I lost it all. You know, I lost it all. So moral of that story is it still happens, even in sobriety. All that good stuff happens. Just hopefully don't go out over it. So I didn't go out over that. Right after Christmas, we drove to Dallas. She lived in North Dallas, a place called Addison. And I was there for 5 weeks. And it was the longest 5 weeks. And I had my part in it. I'm not doing this. I'm not doing the finger pointing or anything, but holy shit, man. We get there, and she, I hope she's okay. She's in my prayers every day. There's something, there's definitely something wrong with me, but there was really something wrong with her. What it was, I don't know. And I don't mean that mean-spiritedly. There just was. But she did big stuff. She would, you know, take, like, the clinics here, Samsung and whatever, the other, Cottage. She did stuff like that all over the world. She'd go to a place for a year and live in a hotel, you know, so she had big responsibilities. Anyway, we get to Dallas, and she spends, this should have, looking back on it, this should have been a somewhat of a clue. She does laundry for 3 days. She cleaned every freaking stitch of clothes. I'm not the most fastidious guy, but I keep my stuff clean. And in Florida, I'm not a clothes whore, but I got a lot of clothes. I wore like 4 different outfits. But I got a couple of suits and some pants. She was doing laundry from the 27th of December until the 31st of December. And I look back and I go, yeah, it was a sign, which I completely missed. But anyway, on the 1st, waking up on the morning of the 1st, it was like a switch was thrown. She was just a completely different person. And I just bring that up because it was one of the best things that happened to me. I ended up going back to Ocala, not with my tail between my legs. God just had me go back to where it kind of started, and I ended up there for another 3 years, and I worked with you guys. That was my life. I, you know, had some jobs, irrigation, but it really was, I was fortunate to spend a lot of time, do a reasonable amount of service work, and I'll just take a moment to say service work. God almighty, is that a great part. If any of you haven't done it, I highly recommend it. From experience, what little I've done, it's changed my life. In the short time I've been in here, I'm a GSR in a group, and I went down to PRASA. I know I'm jumping around. In San Diego a few months ago, most unbelievable experience I've had in my life. 2,000 of us in one place for 2 days. I can't describe it. It's changed my life. It's still changing my life, like you guys do on a daily basis. And how much time do I have, Stan?
8 o'clock,
okay. So service work, you know, just if your sponsor, you're interested in it, there's 10,001 different types. It's not just being a sponsor and making coffee. It's talking to another alcoholic. There's all kinds of stuff. And just getting out of self, I can't recommend it more highly. And that's what, a, you know, to me, an enormous part of this second life given and one life lived is the end of the prayer of St. Francis. It is by self-forgetting that one finds. And it is so true, and that's another one of the 1,001 sayings and things that I heard when I first came in here, and I continue to hear, and even when I just said that, it means something a little bit different to me today when I say it out loud and I hear my own voice than I heard somebody say it at the end of a meeting or at the beginning of a meeting 2 weeks ago. That's just what this is all about. Change is inevitable. Growth is optional. Be an open book. You guys continue to knock the me out of me. And that goes back to what I was, the phrase that I used at the beginning of this, this great meeting. I have met the enemy, and it is me. And it's still me if I allow it. But by doing that self-forgetting, by doing service work, whatever it takes, again, there are so many tools that are given here. It's limitless. It's incredible. There's always something to do. And, you know, I never looked at life that way, even in the most mundane terms. But I've come to find, keeping it simple, there's always something to do. Even if I, you know, don't have a job, there's always something to do to help another, whether it's a fellow alcoholic or not. Helping others. You're looking at someone who is testament to helping others by helping others. The growth, what little I'm aware of, and the change is staggering and powerful at the same time. Again, getting out of self. I was the troublemaker. You know, Carl Jung, the psychologist, psychoanalyst, who was a good friend of this program at the beginning and for years, and Albert Einstein both said in different ways, the consciousness that got you into the situation is not the one to get you out of it. And the way I read that is, I got my ass into the stuff that I got myself into, and I'm living testimony to the fact of trying to get myself out of it. Those thousands of Sundays of me going, oh my God, I'm never doing that again. I'm never drinking. Anybody else do that? I'm never drinking that kind of beer. That wine? Oh no, 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 no. I'm never doing that again. That was that same consciousness, trying to talk myself out of it. Yeah, I would work for a day, 3 days, right back to it. Right back to it. There's a great formula, an equation in this program that you guys have taught me. It's a part of the 10th step and a part of higher power. That's, for me, is God, purely and simply, my best friend and a miracle maker and worker. And that equation to me is, thy will be done, which is, and yours as well, and the spiritual axiom, which is, axiom means truth, the spiritual truth, and it goes back to what I was saying before, when person, place, or thing, top of my head, steam coming out of the ears, you know, whatever goes on, I need to stop, and what happens, the results are incredible. And if I get out of the way, and I allow acceptance to land in front of me, yeah, in a little while it might not be what I was hoping for or what I expected if I let expectations get ahead of acceptance. But for the most part, what I found is it's pretty good. And it's certainly a lot better than it was in my days of drinking or even during those days when I wasn't drinking, but I was still drinking, being an alcoholic, the confusion, the turmoil, the torn to pieces hood that I put myself through and blame you guys for. Please, God, don't let me ever go back there again. I, you know, you know, and here's another one that's in that same step, and you know, I always thought until I came here, I wasn't hurting anybody. Just myself. And that's a total lie. I hurt a lot of people. You know, fortunately didn't kill anybody or come close, but there's a lot to be said for the truth, and that is my daughter, friends, family, I did hurt them. I let them down. And you guys have taught me that the hardest person I need to be on is myself. Easy on you and everybody else. And that toughness and hardness has softened a lot. Forgiveness is an enormous part of the second life given and one life given and one life lived. Forgiveness. Forgiveness of self, forgiveness of others, however that works for you. For me, I had to begin to forgive myself, and it was a part of coming and still understanding myself to begin to learn and understand to forgive others, because I thought, again, it was you guys. I had nothing to do with it. And it's the total reversal. And there's wholesale change in just that seismic shift, that sea change of attitude, which is ongoing. For me, it doesn't stop. It can't stop. That's why I have to keep coming back, is to be reminded of that and so many other things. And I'd just like to read two things, if I can, to finish up. One of them, you guys may have heard, Attitude, by a guy named Charles Swindoll. The longer I live, the more I realize the impact of attitude on life. Attitude, to me, is more important than facts. It is more important than the past, than education, than money, than circumstances, than failures, than successes, than what other people think, say, or do. It is more important than appearance, giftedness, or skill. It will make or break a company, a church, a home. The remarkable thing is we have a choice every day regarding the attitude we embrace for that day. We cannot change our past. We cannot change the fact that people will act in a certain way. We cannot change the inevitable. The only thing we can do is play the one string we have, and that is our attitude. I am convinced that life is 10% what happens to me and 90% how I react to it. And so it is with you. We are in charge of our attitude. And to finish up, hopefully you guys are familiar with this one. This is our 11-step prayer, the prayer of St. Francis. Lord, make me a channel of thy peace, that where there is hatred, I may bring love, that where there is wrong, I may bring the spirit of forgiveness, that where there is discord, I may bring harmony, that where there is error, I may bring truth, that where there is doubt, I may bring faith, that where there is despair, I may bring hope, that where there are shadows, I may bring light, that where there is sadness, I may bring joy. Lord, grant that I may seek rather to comfort than to be comforted, to understand than to be understood, to love than to be loved. For it is by self-forgetting that one finds. It is by forgiving that one is forgiven. It is by dying that one awakens to eternal life. Amen. And I want to thank you all for saving my life today. Thank you.
Thank you again, Chiz, and he will be available after the meeting if you would like to speak with him and welcome him and talk to him. And let's pray out. Is someone?
Change, the courage to change the things I can, Yeah, yeah.